Hello, everybody. Come on in, step right up. Welcome to A Dicey Experience. You'll find the most odd and strange creatures in this here game. Coming up first is our Tortle Warlock. His name is Stolen. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Mr. Stolen, and why are you so creepy looking like a turtle?
Well, if you want to be serious, the turtle's name is Crew, not Stolen. There's two different things you got to see, you know what I mean? So, but this is Stolen, and I am playing Crew, which is a warlock turtle, and he is just barely surviving, you know, but that's how it is sometimes.
Shoo-wee! That's a pretty exciting moment there. Well, who's that little small man there next to you? He's got lots of them gizmos and gadgets on his back.
Hey, it's Mean Green here, coming to you playing Arlo Legolo. I'm just happier than a buzzard on a gut wagon to be here. I like to come on here to the Dicey Experience, and I sometimes play old Clark Coldwater there as a guest appearance. But right now, I'm playing at Arlo Legolo, and I'm just so happy to be here with y'all. I'm just jittering like a squirrel at a hoedown. I tell you what.
Woohoo! Well, don't you know, that's something else. Shooey. Wow. I didn't understand a lick of what he just said, but we'll look on over at that a strange creature over there. He's got big old teeth and a dress on. Tell us a little bit about yourself there, Meerkat.
Well, I'm playing Torque. I am a half orc, and I'm just so glad to be here.
Wow. It is an honor and a pleasure to begin this here game, and Who would like to tell us what happened last time?
So, last time, after we threw somebody overboard, I mean, his neck may have snapped on the way down, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. We tried to sneak into a portcullis on the side of the ship. Well...
You went into a porta potty?
No, it wasn't on the poop deck. It was on the side of the ship. I mean, I guess there are some of them that go over the side of the ship, but I mean, that's not what it's made for.
Teacher's out. Fire when ready.
Sun's out, teacher's out. That's what I always say.
Yeah, there you go. Boy.
Anyways, inside that portcullis, there was two little grungs that we ended up fighting one of them, and then the other one got scared away. I mean, I guess Torg there, he just needs an Oscar for that performance he gave. He scared everybody off that ship. Now we're just we're trying to gather our things and figure out what we're going to do from here.
That's right. I think to help save time, you guys managed to use the Torg's rope, the last rope you guys have, to pull yourselves back up to the side of the ship. You're back in the cannon room now, and there is a of stairs left to get you guys on down to the treasure room, I believe. That being said, what do you guys do when you guys get all back together?
Borg, did you scare everybody away? What's going on?
There's a dead grung at his feet, by the way.
Well, I just acted like Sally and scared them off the ship. No, it was nothing. And this one just got in the way.
I guess we're gonna have to let V know that you have acting skills. I mean, that could come in handy for the clan.
If you'd have told me that Thorg was going to be the thespian amongst us, yeah, I don't know what I'd have said about that. I don't feel so well, fellas. Nobody's got a healing potion on him, do they?
I don't think I do.
All right, grit your teeth. We're ready to go.
It's called a gun port. Meerkat's done the research. It's not a portcullis, it's a gun port. This whole time we've been calling it the wrong thing.
Oof. Well, I guess my mind was thinking of a porthole, but that's just a window.
Yeah,
I guess
that's all right. That's all right.
So that's why it made sense. We're learning.
Yeah,
we're learning.
We didn't have lazy men here to correct us.
We need sailors for dummies,
or just lazy man to answer all my questions when I make up things.
So
did we all get healing potions in the beginning?
I don't think we did.
You know, it's a standard issue for you guys to carry a healing potion. You know.
Okay. But then I will take my healing potion, which is what? 2d4 plus 2.
That sounds right.
Sir.
Arlo will do the same. All right.
Org will not. He has taken no damage.
Org is going to hold on to his.
Yeah.
I guess we need to hide this body in case, you know, Dele finds it.
Well, I brought it in so it wasn't just floating out there, but we can just throw him over for one.
Yeah, do that.
Or we could shove him in one of these cannons.
I don't think he's going to fit in there.
Or let's just stick him over in the corner behind like one of the stacks of cannonballs.
Sounds good to me. I say we hurry up and we get our butts down there to the treasure room before they get wise and come back.
Yeah, with all your knowledge of the ship, do you know how to get there from here, Arlo?
Straight down the stairs.
All right, let's go. Stealthily.
There shouldn't be anybody on this floor. Everyone got scared, so we'll just have to figure out what's down there or what's guarding the treasure room.
Crew, is the door open or did it get closed behind you when you came in?
You're asking yourself?
I'm not. I'm asking Org if the door got closed behind him when he came in the door.
So, I mean, when the golden fish ran out the second time,
yeah,
he slammed the door shut, or is it still open?
Oh, it's still wide open.
Oh. It's still okay. Do we see anybody down the hallway?
With some fish crap splatters down the center of the hall there.
It's a frog. Why would it be fish crap? It's frog crap.
Sorry. Frog droppings.
He's carrying fish crap on him.
Frog droppings down the center. My bad.
Then I'm going to lead the way down the hallway.
Perfect.
Arlo, is it this staircase here?
Yeah, because it's my assumption is that it just switched backs on itself, so it goes from one level to the next. So yeah, we just need to keep going down.
All right, let's go.
Perfect. You guys are making your way down the stairs. Like we mentioned before, the room was decorated nicely enough to have like shelves and stuff in it, but now you are kind of making your way down to the bottom bowels of the deck of the ship. It smells a little bit different, but at first it's kind of bad, and then it smells like it's almost being like masked with like a potpourri type smell. The same kind of smell you had in the room when you first arrived, but now it's a little bit like dense mixed with like just nastiness.
Sounds like somebody sprayed some perfume on a pile of crap down here.
Maybe they moved the poop deck down here. As we're getting closer to the trophy room, do we notice it getting flooded?
No, like it is still well kept and maintained down here. Again, he did make a hole, but it wasn't low enough for water to come in. So,
okay,
no one seemed to notice that hole as of yet. But you guys are down in the bowels of the ship. You guys see the hammocks and different things that are kind of laying about. This is where the extras get to live. See, you hear snoring. It sounds like they are out. The lights are off, so it is relatively dark. I know Torg probably has dark vision because of half-orc, right? Arlo, do you have dark vision?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yeah, so Arlo can see for sure.
Yeah, I got dark vision.
Crew does not have dark vision.
Yep, he does not have devil's sight yet either. So, Crew, you are completely blind. It is pitch black down here.
Do I hear the people snoring, though?
Yes, you hear people snoring, and you kind of feel... Well, what's your marching order?
I was leading the way.
Yeah, so you are in the front. You can hear people snoring. Who's behind him?
I'll push Arlo in between us, and I'll protect our back, our flank.
Sounds good to me.
Perfect.
So, once we get down into the dark, I hear the snoring. I'm going to turn around and kind of feel for Arlo.
Yeah.
Grab him and just kind of go, people down here.
Yeah, I can hear.
Make sure Torg knows.
Hey, Torg, you hear that snoring?
That means you can clearly see people in hammocks just passed out. There's like a beer bottle on the floor. There's a little table with a small lantern that can be lit and be dimly lit if you need it to be. There's, you know, trash and stuff all over the floor. People's arms and legs are hanging outside of the hammock. There's one guy that's snoring really, really loud, but you guys know, Arlo, you know you have to get through this room to get to a hallway to get to the treasure room.
Can either one of y'all see? Because I can't see shit.
Yeah, I got you. And Arlo will whisper his little incantation and blow in his glove and have his glove go get that little lantern that you said had the hood on it and bring it back to him. And he'll just put the hood down and light it real quick with his little lighter that he was talking about at the very beginning of this mission and hand it over to crew.
Roll me a d20.
All right. One second. There we go. 20 roll. That is a 12.
Well, if you were worried for a second because some seawater came out of your lighter, but it did still light. So, yeah, you can light your little lantern, and now, crew, you can kind of begin to see about 10 feet around you. There's definitely a sleeping quarters. But there is a door at the end of the walkway, and if you look behind you, there's a door behind you as well. Around the staircase.
Arlo, which way?
Pick our way through these guys, so just stay close to me and don't make a lot of unnecessary noise. And so I'll kind of take the lead and start weaving my way through what looks like the quietest way to get through these guys.
And I'll tiptoe through as well, try not to hit like beer bottles or anything like that.
Let's make stealth checks.
Let's do it. My good stealth.
17.
20.
30, 20.
That would be a 6.
My gosh. Why?
But two successes beats one failure, right?
There we go. That was a group check, right?
It was a group check. Let me average it out and see how you do. Oh, yeah. With an average of 14, you still manage to get through. With no problem, you're darting and weaving between the beer bottles. There's a point where Arlo's like, yeah, I've got this. I'll lead us out. Just we got to dodge and avoid everything. And when he turns around, he kicks a beer bottle. And here you go, clink, 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 down the hallway for a second. And right when he kicks it, Rue kind of picks him up. And you guys wait, and you kind of hear them stir for a second, and then nobody moves. And they go back to their regular breathing and start making your way through. Eventually, you get to the door at the end of the hall. But what do you say? What were you going to say there? I'm sorry, Arlo.
I almost pissed myself there. Let's get this door open.
Door's unlocked. You guys open the door. What do you do?
Is it dark in the trophy room as well?
Well, you're not in the trophy room yet. It is a little more lit in this hallway. Open this door. Okay. Light is going to come into.
Okay, then I'll just
do it.
Try to slip.
One at a time. Just open, close, so not much light gets into the room.
Yep. And
it's
and
worse. It's way worse. Go ahead though.
Arlo's the smallest, so I'll have to put in the least amount of light. So he'll slip through real quick and then hand them the door to do whatever they're gonna do, but I'll step in and start looking down the hallway to see if there's anything that needs to be seen, if you catch what I'm saying. So
yeah.
Crew is going to set the lantern down on the ground, and that way he can use both hands to push open the door real quickly and slip through.
Okay.
Quietly behind him.
Torg, when you open that door on your the light comes the room, he just hear everybody kind of moan and kind of like, seriously? Your bottle flies towards your head and slams against the wall as you. But you guys are fine. No one's coming.
We briskly walk down the corridor.
There's nothing really of note in this area. Actually, crew, honestly, the rest of the walk is kind of fuzzy to you. I'm in this memory. You can't quite piece together what turns and different things. You kind of remember laughing at the thought of Torgamus being hit by a beer bottle, but the rest of this walk is relatively fuzzy. What you do remember is getting to a large and elaborate door and kind of realize why they sent Arlo with you. It's going to take a interesting lockpicking pick to be able to said door. And the door is big and elaborate in the sense that, like, the rest of the doors are relatively of smaller stature and size, like a regular person could fit through. It almost looks like a giant could walk through this door, which seems odd in the bow of the ship, but we are in a magic world. The etchings and the drawings on the outside of this door are kind of flowers that they kind of see a blue and a red flower that seem to intertwine with each other. What do you guys do?
Arlo, you pick that?
I think I might be able to. And Arlo will take out his little device and walk up and put it against it. You can tell he's kind of nervous because this is the moment of truth, and he'll put that puppy in and start it. Click, 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 and we'll wait and see what happens.
Make me an intelligence check or a sleight of hand, whichever you prefer.
I like sleight of hand much better. That's a 9.
And the thing falls apart all over the floor.
Well, we'll do it the old-fashioned way. And he'll pull out his lock-picking tools and go to work. Obviously bummed, but it's all right.
Ooh, another sleight of hand check.
Another sleight of hand check.
Torg does have to lift you up in the air and hold you to be this keyhole now.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, Torg.
What?
You're going to have to lift me up.
No problem, and I'll grab you with my frilly gloves, and I'll lift you up to the door.
Dear God, don't tell anybody about this. All right, here we go.
But DM, is there any kind of, like, space under the door, or is it pretty flush with the ground?
That's better.
It's flush with the ground. It's a great question.
Okay.
21.
Yeah. Now that you're close enough to the lock, it's big enough where you can almost, like, look through it and kind of see some treasure on the other side. And you can see the intricacies of what it's like on the inside of this lock, and you're like, ah, better. And you're able to start picking, and it eventually takes a minute or two, and click, it clicks open. The door you think was going to swing open from the right, but it opens up from the center.
Ooh, like barn doors sliding out. Nice. Okay.
Yep. But you guys, successful.
So,
there is a large open room. Go ahead.
What is the gnome being held up by the half-orc in the frilly dress and the gloves? See as the door slides open.
So somebody that's standing in the trophy room would see, like, the scene from The Lion King where being held up.
Yes, yeah. This is more like Aladdin. He's finally made his way down the steps, and you walk into the room and just bright, and there's gold everywhere, and it's like piles of gold all over the place. Different types of treasures and different along the floor. A couple of statues around the edge, and it looked like two of them kind of look very similar to Saleh, as if like they're making a bunch of statues of Saleh. If you were an artist, might recognize who they are and who made them. A couple of treasure chests in the room as well. It's a bigger space than you thought it was when you first.
Holy crap, man. We could retire forever with what's in here.
How big are these statues?
So again, this space feels strange and weird. It's almost larger than what you would expect for what would be this part of the boat, in the spine of the boat. It is a pocket dimension of sorts that makes everything appear to be larger and bigger. And it really is, because everything is larger and bigger. The room should not fit in the space that you are in. Yet, here you are. As you look at these statues, though, they are about 20 feet tall. So they are relatively large and heavy. They weigh a lot.
Good Lord.
They're not like carryable.
Yeah, no, not unless you all three want to try to carry it together.
I was thinking like a small bust or something.
No, they're like 20 feet tall. Like, think the Thinking Man. Like, it's massive.
Okay.
There is one of a man sitting with his fist underneath his chin, resting on his knees, and there's a circular hole underneath it, where he's sitting, and it's called the Porticolus. Go ahead, go into the room if you guys would like.
I'm just gonna stop everybody for a second. I'm gonna, like, Torg will put out his hand. Stop. Seems a little too easy. Maybe we should, like, check and see if anything's got an alarm or some kind of trap door. Like,
Cruz just gonna look around to see if there's, like, anybody in there, because it's weird that it's lit up, whereas the rest of the ship was very dim.
Yeah, make a perception check.
Arlo will blow in his glove and send his mage hand in and see if anything happens when the mage hand breaks the barrier.
7 for me.
Looks like a well-lit room with lots of treasure, crew. The mage hand... Yeah, Mage Hand will go through the door. Do you cast it inside the room? Do you have it go over the threshold, or what do you have it do?
I would have casted it on our side and then seen if it could move through.
Yeah, it floats on in.
Turns around, waves at me, nothing happens.
Yeah. Seems happy.
Anyway, I'll call it back and...
Oh, can you have it grab something, like some gold or something? See if that triggers anything?
Sure. So he'll blow in the glove again, send the glove through again, have it go over, find the nearest coin, pick it up, dangle it around for a second.
Yeah.
All right. Set the coin back down, come back to me. Fine, as far as I can tell.
The crew is going to step 1 foot in across the threshold. Here goes nothing, guys.
Right behind you, boss.
It's interesting when you walk into this room because the air is almost fresher. It feels like it's a little bit cleaner. It's a little jarring because the room doesn't rock back and forth like a boat. It doesn't wibble and wobble. It's a firm ground. Solid. Unmoving.
Like instead of being on the ocean, we're standing on a slab, like a solid building.
Yeah. You guys all walk in?
This place freaks me out. I think somebody should hold the door open, somebody go get some crap, and let's get out of here. I've almost died once today. I'm doing all right.
That's a good idea. I'll hold the door open.
Yeah, Torg, you're strong. You hold the door. Arlo, let's split up, see what we can find.
All right, what are we looking for?
What do we see around?
Well, this is your memory, Mr. Crew. What do you guys find? And when you are walking around, I will say this. In the center of the room, there's a strange, relatively large candle with a flame at the top, glowing a little bit.
How big's the candle?
As big as the statues.
Oh, huge candle. Okay.
It's a huge candle, okay.
Yep. Large, massive candle.
Yeah.
Is it doing anything other than adding ambiance to the room?
It's adding light. It's okay. Just there.
Is it like flickering, or is it pretty much straight flame?
It's a straight flame, but it's a little odd because it looks like something's whipping and blowing it. But there's no wind in the room, and there's no windows or doors besides the one you entered that would allow for a breeze to whip it back and forth like this.
Do we see the ceiling of this room?
Yeah, it's like a 60-foot ceiling.
Oh, it's a big space. Okay. And there's nothing up on the ceiling that would be causing it to move.
You can make a perception check.
17.
Not that you can tell, but you would assume that absolutely not, no.
So, we already have Saleh's little memoir here. I think it would be perfect if we could find something that would link her to this in here. I mean, obviously we can't take one of those big statues, but if we could find something smaller.
Is there any rare currency recorded in there?
I don't see any.
DM, do we see anything besides a candle, statues, and coins?
There's the treasure chests that are around.
Oh, you said something about paintings, right?
I said nothing about paintings.
Okay, so just 20-foot tall statues, period. Okay.
I'm going to walk over to one of the treasure chests. Are they locked?
No, they're not locked.
I will open it up.
So you go to open the chest, and immediately you notice that it has sharp teeth and a tongue-like thing flies out of it and slams against your chest.
Yay.
Then you hear what sounds like a party horn, a beep. It is a, it's a party chest. It's a fake chest. A fake mimic chest, if you would. And you notice that there is some stuff inside of it.
But in Crew's scared mood, he still grabs the top of it and slams it back down. So like the teeth go into the fake tongue.
And as it echoes, the flame turns to you and points to you.
I just freeze. Does it move back or is it still pointing at me?
It feels excruciatingly long, but eventually the flame stops pointing at you and goes back to swaying like it was before.
Holy crap, man. Ugh. I'm gonna have a heart attack today. Okay. Hey, I just had a thought. Okay, DM. So, you said we had the guy on the crapper that was called Portcullis. Do most of these statues have nameplates on them?
Sure.
Okay. Do any of the statues, do any of these names appear in the ledger?
Yeah, that Portcullis one does.
Awesome. Awesome. That's a solid gold nameplate. It would only come off of that statue. Let's see if we can just get the nameplate off. We can take that with us.
Yeah, let's take that, and let's also take one of those ones off of Sally's.
All right.
We'll have a double.
Okay, how are you guys going to go about and take these nameplates off?
I'm probably going to...
Are the nameplates look like they're screwed on, or are they just... How do they look like they're attached?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
It looks like they're screwed on.
Okay, in that case, it's going to be lag screws into concrete, so I'll just get out a small punch chisel, and I know that I only have to work around the corners, and then it'll let go of the screws. So I'll just, as a tinker, that'll be second nature, so I'll just go to work. Tink, 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 tink.
You notice as it gets a little bit louder as he starts to do this chiseling. Oh, go ahead, crew.
This is a crew doesn't know any better when it comes to this, so he has picked up one of the coins and is off the floor and is trying to use that like as a makeshift screwdriver.
I would say if you can put out about 120 pounds of torque, then it'll probably break loose.
To begin to chisel away, and it begins to make noise of a. And Torg, you're watching this, right? And you notice that the candle, the flame itself, begins to point towards the noise and eventually turns into five flaming fingers, almost like a flaming hand. And it begins to crawl down the candle in a spider-like fashion towards your companion, who is chiseling away at the plaque.
Guys, look behind you at the fire.
And Arlo will just lean out around the statue. Do I see this?
Your back's to it, so you'd have to turn around.
Oh, okay, so I turn around. Do I see this thing coming at me?
Yeah, it looks like a giant flaming hand, and it is crawling down the, like a spider would, crawling down the...
Down the side of the candle.
This is the candle, yeah. And it's almost like melting it down.
And it's heading in my general direction?
It is, yeah. It is definitely heading in y'all's general direction.
Okay, I will... put something between me and it and try to hide.
Okay. You put crew between you and it. Or what are you putting between you and it?
Probably something it's used to seeing, like a statue.
Okay, so you go behind the statue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crew is just going to, I'm assuming I see this happening as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to just freeze like I did before, because that seemed to placate it.
Continues to crawl down, and it starts making its way over at you, crawling again, limbs like a spider, just kind of not Cousin It. What's the other one? Thing.
Hand.
Off
the,
of
the, oh, thing. The thing.
Thing.
Thing. Yeah.
Kind of like Thing, just walking, making its way over. Eventually, it gets by you, crew. And crew, I want you to roll me a stealth check.
Six.
This thing goes to almost like stand up on the middle finger and the ring finger, and as it does, it bumps into you in the process, and it stumbles back a little bit, and it almost kind of freaks out in like a rage, kind of like an angry rage. It's going to swing its pinky at you.
Did it feel solid or did it feel like a flame?
It feels like a flame.
Okay.
24 to hit.
That hits.
4 points of fire damage. At this point, let's all roll for initiative.
So do I take half damage because I'm still wet from being in the ocean?
No, you would have dried off by this point, buddy. Crawl as long as it would have taken you to crawl up the side of the boat.
So just to save time in a second, I was going to ask the same question. So has it been long enough that like even our clothes are dry? Like even our underclothing would be dry?
Okay, that's a good point. But crew doesn't wear pants at this point.
Right. No, I'm asking for Arlo.
Crew is naked.
Because I was just fixing to ask you the same question, so I'm just getting ahead of things.
Yeah, from my perspective, turtles dry pretty quick. So, but yeah, you're probably still a little soggy in underwear.
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
Chafing a little bit. TMI, I guess, but now we all know. So... What do we roll for initiative? 25 to 20 again. 20 to 15.
19.
Okay. 15 to 10. Wow. Okay. 10 to 5. Well, Torg, how are you going to get out of here, buddy? 5-1
Yeah, I'm going first. So I'm
4
3
4 and 3. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? I'd rather have a bad roll on initiative so I can save my good rolls for the attacks.
There you go. I like that optimism.
We know our initiative now, and we're super excited to get started with this fight 45 minutes into this game. Give or take. Probably sooner for our listeners. Probably 30 for them. That being said, though, Torg, you are by the door. And this flaming hand has crawled down the candle right here, and it is way over to your friend.
Well, I only have 30 feet, and I cannot get to him in time. So I will run up as far as I can.
Yeah. Full movement to dash. Yep. Or you're just going to use your movement?
I just use my movement.
Okay.
Nothing else I can do. That'll be my turn.
Okay. The living burning hands now going to take its turn. And it's going to blindly swing out in the direction it hit something a second ago. But a 10 does not hit our good buddy crew.
It does not.
But the heat of it just washes over. Arlo, it's your turn, buddy. You are behind this big old statue. See, like, a light flashing in front of you as crew seems to be trying to dodge and avoid being hit by flames.
Okay. How big is this thing?
It's a medium size, so I'm so about as big as you guys.
So it's humanoid. Okay, yeah, so soggy clothing. Okay, so he'll step over here and then peek around the statue, and he'll just hammer this thing with the magic gun. So it's gonna sound really loud. I don't know. Well, here, we'll just do this. So let me just start by. So I'll fire. My gun does a 15 hit.
15 does not hit.
Okay.
It looks like it's about to hit. It doesn't pass through it, but it like collides with it, and you can tell like it recognize that it's been hit, but no damage is taken.
Okay. And in that case, I'll just move back right there and wait for my next turn.
Okay. Mr. Crew.
Crew is going to, after being burned, going to take a couple steps back away from the hand.
Okay. It misses.
And it's going to an Eldritch Blast at it.
Nice.
No, it's not, because it's only a 6.
It collides against the statue. That's what you'd like to do, Mr. Crew?
I'm just going to keep backing away.
Okay. As you step away, you hear a and you look to your left. It appears the doors to this room has slammed closed. All right. Torg, top of the round, buddy.
The doors close behind me, and I am going to fly into a fit of rage.
Yeah, you are.
I would like to rage.
And I am going to attack him. So, I haven't used rage before. I don't add anything to the hit. It's just the damage that it adds, right?
Yeah. No, it should be +2 to your attack modifier and your move.
Okay. Well, I guess it doesn't matter because natural 20.
Nice.
Do I double the +2 for rage?
You know, you doubled the dice.
Okay. So 24 points of damage.
Okay. Tell me how you swung your axe in a fit of rage towards this flaming hand creature.
I am sprinting towards it with my axe trailing behind me, and then I slash upwards through it.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, you do this, and it's interesting, right? Because you feel like you did not do the full amount of damage it was supposed to do. But at the same time, there was almost like a force of wind that came behind you, and this creature looks like it'd been hit. It was kind of like flares out for a second, and it's almost like flickering, like a flame about to go out. But it's not done yet. It is going to turn its body and face you. I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
I only have advantage on strength. Okay.
You have danger sense yet?
No. Dexterity 10.
10?
Yep.
Okay. It shoots just a bout of fire in your direction. And you're gonna take 8 points of fire damage.
Oh no.
Watches over your body, like a cone of fire coming. Last thing, it kind of melts some of the gold around you. The dress that you were wearing is now just burnt and tattered. The egg drops and rolls onto the ground. It is no longer sitting in the bosom area. And that straw hat is just gone.
I was going to be unconscious with that attack, but I'm going to use my relentless endurance to stay at 1 HP.
Freaking half orcs! Oh my gosh. Okay. Arlo, what are you going to do, buddy?
Arlo is just going to pop out this side now, peek around the statue, and let this thing have it.
Okay. You'd see a bright flash of light on the other side of the stem.
Cool.
You can barely hear Torque breathing, just a heavy.
Yeah. He's like, I don't like this thing. Woo, about time. 21.
That hits.
Wait, hold up. Hold the button. Okay, cool. So that'll be 8 points of magical damage, and it's the effect of Thunderwave, so it needs to make a dex saving throw against a 13. And if it fails, then it's knocked prone. I don't know what that would even look like with this thing, but...
It can't be... Condition immunity is prone, so it cannot be made prone.
Okay. Then it just takes 8 points of magical piercing damage.
Okay. Well, tell me, what does this spell look like? Describe it to me.
So the gun looks like something like a steampunk sort of magical steampunk gun. Arlo's using his bonus action to reload this bad boy too, so he's his bonus action to jam another crystal in this bad boy, and then he turns around the statue, takes aim, pulls the trigger, kaboom! You know, it's got this thunder wave effect, so it's really loud, and when it goes off, this crystal flies out with the power of thunder, glowing blue. The sides of the gun rails glow blue, so the crystals also glow blue once they're stuck in the gun, and so just this blue magical crystal just hits this thing and hopefully rinse a hole in the middle of it.
Yeah. How do you want to do this?
Oh.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm picturing Cousin It, but if there's anything like eye slits or whatever, just that portion of it, just rip it off.
Okay. It has no eye slits. It definitely looks not like Cousin It, but the thing. But thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And, it just you watch as your crystal hits it, and it almost has like a... And it's almost like the sound stops for a second and becomes completely silent. And he watches it kind of begins to shake a little bit as the crystal begins to go through it and poof, burns it out. You watch as kind of flame scatters everywhere and it poof, goes dark in the room.
Ooh, boys. Holy crap. Oh, my God. I don't know if I'm cut out for this or not, man. Oh, I thought,
close one.
I, thought I was going to get cooked.
I'm not going to speak for y'all, but for me, I'm kind of tired of being attacked today, so let's hurry this up and get out of here.
All right, yeah. So Arlo will go right back around and start trying to get this faceplate off of this statue as quickly as possible.
Prue is going to go back over to the treasure chest that he had opened and slammed shut without seeing what was inside and reopen it.
Okay.
Now that he knows that it was just a party gag.
What? It's dark, but your memory is still very clear. What do you find, Prue?
So inside the chest, Prue finds this piece of paper that's rolled up into like a scroll. And as he reaches down and grabs it, it just looks like an ordinary piece of paper. But as he unfurls it, he notices that the inside of it is very inlaid with gold and and it's very intricate in how it's designed. And as he keeps unfurling it, he realizes that it's a map to the island of Federcall. He doesn't know exactly what that is, but he assumes that if Saleh has this very nice map in this treasure vault, it's got to be worth something. Hey, guys, I got this. Let's get out of here.
Sounds good to me, man.
Perfect. You guys hit the door. The door does go back open. You kind of have to hit it, and it kind of back open. Rue, what was the rest of the escape like?
So the rest of the escape really was a blur. They were able to make it down the corridor back to the sleeping area. It slipped back in. And the crew themselves had pretty much gone back to sleep at this point, because the crew and Arlo and Torg were in the treasure room for probably about 30 minutes or so at this point. They made it through the room. Torg actually did catch one of the bottles with his foot as he was going through, but was able to catch it before it made too much noise. Up out of the treasure room, back up to the top, and then they started using the bones to claw back down the side of the ship. As on the way to the top, crew had handed over both of the journal and the map to Arlo. Hey, Arlo, do you have a place to hold these so that they won't get wet? I have nothing.
Yeah, man, I think I got just the thing. And Arlo will pull out a leather tube that's got some baubles in it, including he put his lighter mechanism in there because it got wet before, and he was like, man, I'm such an idiot. So he slides the map and the journal into this leather tube and closes it up and relashes the leather thongs on the outside, trying to make it as airtight as possible before they head back down.
So they climb about halfway down the ribs on the side of the ship, and then they dive into the water and swim underneath the water as far as they can hold their breath towards where V was still on the beach.
The awards you all with your success. You have all been upgraded in the clan. And at this point, your memory begins to fade as you come back into the smelly sewers, walking with your current compatriots, the Fates. Jean's kind of shaking you a little bit because you're about to step off into a large section of the sewers where there's a large pit and the water seems to be going down. And hey, gotta stop. I hear some voices around the corner.
Oh, sorry. And this, like, really strange-looking smirk comes across Crew's face. I know this sounds gross, but being back down here, it brings back memories.
John will kind of turn and look at Lucas like, what the crap?
Pretty shitty memories.
And that's where we'll close that scene for this evening. I do have some questions, though. Because, obviously, we have not seen Torg or Arlo since that moment. What did they do after that day? And Torg, I do have one important question before you answer that. The egg, how did you lose it? Because it does find its way to John eventually.
My clothes burned up and it fell out of my clothes.
Cool, so you didn't pick it back up after that?
No.
No, okay. You just left it in the room. All right.
I was near death and I needed to get out of that room.
Sounds good. Okay. So where are Arlo and Torg now in present time? Are they still with the clan or what are they doing now?
I would imagine Arlo got his fill of the fighting scene. And so he took his promotion as an opportunity to become a... Basically what Q is to 007, the creator of unique items for the purposes of the clan. So that was the assignment that Arlo would have requested, was to become the clan tinkerer and make things needed to do cool thievery type things out in the field and test them from the safety of his laboratory.
Awesome. I like it. Mr. Torg.
From his history of being a showman and a gladiator, and then his experience with clothes that he doesn't normally wear, he is going to set up his own line of adventure wear for both men and women so they can adventure and be safe as they traverse the unknown.
Do you need your dresses to be fireproof? Come on down to Torg's Fine Wears.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Mean Green, it has been an absolute joy having you join us for a few episodes. We really appreciate it. We know that your work's getting ready to ramp up for the summer, but if the listeners wanted to find out more about you or find out where they can listen to more of your gorgeous voice, where can they find you in the socials and such?
Ooh. not too many places right now. Guest appearing on a Dicey Experience. I am on Twitch at MeanGreen220. Feel free to look me up, follow me, send me a message. There's no content on there right now, but maybe that'll change in the near future.
Perfect. Anything else y'all want to share about this episode or share about Mean Green before we head out?
No.
It was really
a blast to have you here.
Yeah, man. Great to be here.
Yep.
That being said, it's been a great time. And as always, next time we'll be deadly serious next time.
Peace out.
Bye.